I mentioned that the word crater brought back memories. I have now managed to remember it.
Go on.
Cron jumps.
What the?
Doc looked around to make sure the others were not within hearing distance.
The gateways. You know they're mat transports. You get in, and instantly you're carried somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm freezing to the bone out here, Doc. Can't we?
It won't take much longer, sir. I said that there had been some dreadful accidents. I didn't tell you because I couldn't remember it, but the gateways have also been used for other experiments. Cron jumps. Time travel. It does work.
Not likely. Come on, Doc. You know you get confused sometimes.
Most of the time, my dear Mr. Corder. But here is a moment of crystal clarity. I know that time travel is a reality. I know better than any living soul, believe me. But they tried other times. Once, and once only, it nearly worked.
Either Doc Tanner had completely lost all his creds, or he was telling the truth. Ryan shook his head, resisting the temptation to slap himself to see if he was dreaming all this.
It is strange how I can fail to know even my right hand from my left and still recall some fragments of the past with such clarity. It was the 6th day of August in the year 1930, 71 years before Armageddon. A man of great distinction got into a cab in what was called Manhattan in old New York. He waved to a friend and disappeared forever.
What's this got to do with talking about volcanoes and craters?
Wait. The men who ran the Gateway and the Cerberus projects were evil. Oh, such wickedness and misery. My dear, dear Emily. They were trawling and they picked up this man. I was there when he came through, or when what was left of him came through.
Ryan had enough sense not to interrupt Doc to ask who Emily was. That might have been enough to throw his memory off the subject forever.
It nearly, so nearly proved a success. A justice of the Supreme Court. It would have... I can still see what came.
Go on, Doc.
Behind Ryan, the rest of the group had boarded the ice buggies and were watching curiously from the opslits.
A shirt with a high collar. Remember, the shoes were very sharply pointed, which was the fashion of the time, and were polished like twin mirrors. The suit was double-breasted, a brown pinstripe. That was the expression, pinstripe. That torn suit, with the label of the tailor still neatly sewn within it.
The early sun had long gone, and the day was turning colder and bleaker. Gray clouds streaked with a dull purple were gathering over the giant mountain behind them, and already the first flakes of threatening snow were blowing.
Those clothes. And most of his trousers were missing. All but the lower jaw of the head was gone. That row of white teeth, everything sliced clean as a razor. Very little blood. The right hand was there, perfect. The fingers still curling. But the left was hewn away by some unknown and unimagined power. The voice mewed like a kitten. I think that was the worst of it. That little mewing voice. Lord, forgive us for what was done in the name of science and progress. Progress. That poor relic of a man, plucked from the past to end. Who knows where or when.
But what's this got to do with craters, Doc? I don't see the connection.
Doc's veiled eyes turned to him, unblinking.
The name of...
It's dropping fast, Ryan. If we're going, we should move. Gonna be bad weather soon.
Sure, sure. Go on, Doc.
For what? Go on? Ah, I comprehend you, Mr. Corder. Indeed, I do. Go on and get into those infernal internal combustion machines, of course.
Too late. The thought had gone. The call from the armorer had been enough to tip Doc's mind back over the edge, from sanity into utter confusion. But even the few coherent sentences that Doc had managed gave Ryan plenty to think about. Time travel. Maybe the gateways could be used for time travel. Now that was something else entirely. The small barometer in the cab of Buggy 1 told its own tale. The pointer kept moving further down as they drove, roughly maintaining a heading that would take them toward Fairbanks. But the land had undergone massive upheavals and distortions. Also, they were driving in one of the worst blizzards that Ryan had ever seen, worse than anything he'd ever experienced in the Deathlands. Visibility was falling toward zero, and winds rocked the heavy vehicles. In the end, there was nothing to do but halt. During a brief lull in the blizzard, Ryan saw a geodesic dome to the left, with buildings and an old radar dish scattered around it. He pointed it out to Christy.
Part of what they called the dew line. Distant early warning defense system.
Did them a lot of good, didn't it?
Yeah, and it looks like a dam up at the head of that valley.
But the storm came screaming back again, and visibility fell to zero. In mid-afternoon, the storm began to ease, with the wind fading away to a mere 50 miles an hour, and the snow stopping altogether. The barometer rose from the depths, and the watery sun peeked through the chem clouds.
Buggy 1 to 2 and 3, you read?
Both came back affirmative.
Map shows steep valley a few miles ahead. We'll go on and check it out. Keep in contact. If you can't fix the ignition, JB, then call us and we'll return. Or you can all pack into Buggy 3. Is there room?
Sure, Ryan. No sweat. We'll meet up in the opening to that canyon. Keep in touch.
As he was about to press the gas pedal, Ryan had a second thought and switched the radio back on.
Might be better if you come with us, JB. Hen's the engine expert, and he's got Finn to help him out. Six in one of these babies could be too much. Come with us.
How about taking Lori?
No, if we meet trouble ahead, I'd rather have you along, providing you don't smoke one of your bastard cheroots in here.
So the transfer was made, and the ailing buggy was left in the charge of Hen and Finnegan, who were both now recovered from the effects of the drugged punch. Despite intermittent snow flurries, visibility was generally fair. JB held a hand grip to steady himself against the rocking and lurching of the buggy.
We should be near that valley.
How far will we go?
As far as it takes. Looks like what's left up here is a big round zero. Maybe we'll go back to the redoubt in a day or so and try moving to a warmer place. Is that the way you figure, JB?
Sounds good.